Welcome to Not Our Ancestors. This is a weekly podcast with myself, Wesley.
Hi, and I'm Joy.
Hey, it's Tay.
And we discuss all things Black, including politics, culture, relationships, and what we also like to call our most valuable Black blood.
Yes.
That was flat. I'll do better next week.
Okay.
So, hi guys. How was everybody's week?
It was a long week, and it's going to be another long week. So
yes, it's going to be a long week because next week we are hosting our first Friendsgiving. We're really excited to share that episode with you guys.
It's
going to
be crazy.
We're going to have a bunch of friends over, and we're going to do some intimate conversations with them to find out what they care about,
right,
and some interesting perspectives, and talk about the political climate and voting and just get messy and eat good.
It's gonna be trash. Yeah.
These niggas episode are gonna try to outdo me on shade and petty.
Oh, I can't.
So
wait.
It's gonna be a competition.
It's gonna be a petty. But I'm ready. I'm always so excited to eat.
I stay ready.
And
the food's gonna be on point.
Yes.
Well, plenty of alcohol. So
fried turkey.
So you're gonna enjoy the next episode, definitely.
Yeah.
It's gonna be ignorant. Do we wanna jump in? Did you care?
Yes,
let's do some rapid fire real quick. All right, to start the list. Oh, Solange confirms that her husband, Alan Ferguson, and her are separated.
I cared only because I don't know. I like them as a couple. He was super creative.
I thought they looked
and
good
again,
together too.
It's our optics. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but on the surface, it seemed as
though she allowed us to see.
Yeah, it seemed that they had a really healthy relationship where there was a lot of communication and mutual respect
and love.
I like that he directed a lot of her music videos and
artistically they were good together as well.
That might have been it. That might have been the bond.
It could have been.
But I care. I'm
sad. It's like a Tamar and Vince.
No, it is not.
No, not the not the relationship. I'm just talking about a marriage and art and the fact that they can't coexist sometimes. And that was a prime example of not being able to work.
Yes.
Who's wrong with that?
Why do that?
Every fucking week.
I can't.
But no, so yeah, I would definitely say I cared only because that was a really nice example of Black love. But I do also think that the way that they chose to separate publicly was very tactful.
I appreciate that.
So that's showing
I don't need
some
to be in your dirt.
Excellent.
I want to be, but I don't need to be. And she's a Knowles, so she holds back, a lot.
So she's royalty.
Oh yeah.
Well, she don't really hold back too much. That elevator situation.
No. When I mean her personal life, and she's not letting you in all that, and I appreciate that they've been separated for months, and she's just now saying, "Okay, I'm letting you guys know. This is what's going on." And I appreciate that Solange, too, giving us a little bit of what you want to give us. Not at all, some of these other whack-ass artists.
Giving me too much.
Next, Pink reveals that she was so high during her first music video.
Wait, went the one when she was an R&B singer?
Yes. her R&B album, her very first video.
What was the video?
She was super...
Fuck, what's the name of that song?
Come on. I feel like it was as if. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. I think you're right. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. That's like that. That's what it feels like that. There you go.
There you go. There that's it.
That's it.
Just because the legend. She was high during that.
High as hell.
Oh, yeah, girl.
High as hell, apparently.
I care about that.
I appreciate the fact
that was
the jam, right? And she's a great artist.
Yes. And remember, she didn't do that music.
She did not. That's not the genre she wanted to do at all. So of course she was high. She was upset.
She was playing that label.
But I mean, that album was great.
It was
so good.
I was so mad when she started R&B.
I know, but she had to be true to herself.
Let's talk about somebody who's trash.
Please.
We already getting to the trash story.
Well, it's mixed in, so it'll pop up here and there. Ray J's tech company, Rycon, actually hit 10 million in sales.
Here's what I will
say. In less than a year.
Here's what I will say about Ray J. Ray J
knows how to make some money.
Yes. Ray J. Hey, nigga. Knows how to get out there. He can sell. What is it? So
Scooty bikes, and he has some.
You gonna promote him? I was gonna say he could sell fire to the devil or whatever.
Well, I mean, his dick is getting $1 million.
Okay, I'm not speaking on his penis. I know nothing about it, but he has been making money behind the scenes forever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean making big money with all his little side hustles, to the point where did y'all see that Suge Knight just gave him the rights like, just, what is it when you give somebody the rights to produce?
To a story for you.
Yeah, to produce a story. Like, and I mean,
it's Suge Knight. How would little ass punk ass Ray J get Suge Knight to do
stuff? Ray J behind the scenes is like a business mogul for real. And you know what? It's so funny because the thing.
He on his way.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, like,
he on his way. Let me tell you how far his reach is. Okay, so we're listening, or sorry, the general public knows about Ray J vis-a-vis like the hip hop. Right, the Brandy aspect, you know what I mean? I listen to this American history, quote unquote, like very, very obscure kind of like genre, and he's getting like spins, like his Raycon headphones are being talked about on those.
The Reed is now using his advertising for Raycon, and they were like, they just talked a joke about it, and they were like, yes, we are talking about Ray J's headphones.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like episode. He's so, like, he has reached his infiltrated, mm-hmm. like,
can he
every...
not be on Love & Hip Hop Hollywood anymore, though? Because I don't need to see him.
I think the exposure for his...
You made $10 million in less than a year. You can step back from that.
I feel like he probably does that because Princess Love uses that show as spending money.
It's trash, though. Like, they're trash.
That's
like
her shoe budget.
I mean, it's a check.
It's a check.
Guess.
Yeah.
Like, anyway.
We're doing literally nothing.
And you know, his checks have got to be way higher than the rest of the cast, so they get like $500 a...
I mean, he made $10 million in less than a year. They don't need this little petty cash. You don't need that. I just don't want to see Fat Ray J no more.
He's chasing every coin.
Yep.
He doesn't care.
Wow, so you a whore for the coin, I guess.
Well, I mean, we all a little bit, like...
I know. So, I just want to throw out our little ad for Fat Tummy Tea.
it's called Drink Water, okay?
Right. Bad Boy 3 and Coming to America 2 are both filming currently at Tyler Perry.
I thought that's where it was. Yep. I love it.
And all of them. Highlighted it. They said, shout out to the fact that they're filming it in Atlanta,
yep.
A government run by Black people, mm-hmm. on a studio owned by Black men, with films like Star. I was like, yes, all Black.
And the studio
all
just had their grand opening, mm-hmm. and now,
and
like,
he's
two
about to
major.
Host a debate, too.
And the Miss America or yes. Miss USA.
It's Universal.
It's going to be hosted yeah. at his studio. Like,
yes.
Let's come on, Tyler Perry.
That studio must be nice as fuck.
Oh, it is. Gosh, and I love that each of the 10 Stone studios are named by prominent
yep.
Black people.
Yes.
Yep. Outstanding. So shout out to that, because that was an awesome Black moment, especially the picture mm-hmm. that they took. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
And did y'all see the video where they were like, Will Smith rolled up? Yeah, and yeah. they were talking shit. I loved it. Okay. Formal rules for impeachment inquiry has passed the House.
Okay, I mean,
let's see. I actually
don't care because technically, procedurally, they didn't have to do this, but they did this as a talking point against the Republicans. But we all knew that they had enough people there for it, so it didn't really fucking matter. But I get it. I understand that the
protocol.
I understand. Yeah. Right.
Eventually, they had to make it a formal
right.
inquiry, which they did, and they laid out the rules, and they gave Republicans a ton of leeway to investigate, to call witnesses, to have their attorneys in present. Like,
ain't nobody doing, they not doing
they've
that.
They've never done that before. Yeah. And it's like, they're still complaining, like, it's a sham. You have mm-hmm. all this control.
It doesn't even matter. He's not, the Senate is never going to remove him.
So what?
But
I
do want,
can be impeached.
I do want that ass impeached about the House. Uh-huh. Yeah. So,
right.
like, that's fine.
And you never know, to be honest.
Do you think
like,
that
it was very late when they impeached Nixon. Like, Nixon still had a lot
Nixon
of support.
Nixon quit before he got impeached.
No. It was,
oh, you mean from the House?
No, what I'm saying is, before it got to the Senate,
yes,
he got impeached in the House, and before he got impeached in the House, Nixon had support in the Senate, where it was like, he probably won't get removed.
Yeah, had he not, yeah.
But more information came out, tapes came out,
and they told him he needed
testimony came out, and it shifted, and it... I don't know. I don't trust the Senate, but there's the possibility that it could shift and we get this motherfucker.
That's a cold day in hell.
Maybe.
Well, I'm interested.
It is
to
November.
See.
It's cold.
I mean, I will say this. You know what? I do care because this is the circus and this is the shit that I want to see. I want to see all this drama. This is where you sit down with your popcorn and you really want to watch something entertaining for the next couple
weeks.
Oh, it's
been good.
Yeah, it's
been
this is it.
So good.
This is
I
it.
Mean, I would like to say that I agree with that, but at the same time, like, it's really unfortunate because this is not reality show. This is actually our government, and this is actually
here's the biggest problem.
This is somebody getting a black on at this.
So this whole inquiry that is gonna take weeks to months to do.
Right.
It's taking away media time from the presidential election. So exactly. That's the issue in my book. But I could walk and chew gum at the same time, girl. So I'm going to be chewing this gum and I'm going to be walking down the street paying attention to both.
Yep. I'm sorry, you forget you're the exception to the rule. Many people are too lazy to pay attention. And you think that this wasn't perfectly timed?
I feel like the majority can walk and chew gum. Like,
I hope so.
The dumb people we hear and see on a daily basis, they are the exception, actually. Like, most of us can do both at once.
That's true.
Dante's blowing up over there. I hope so. But
we'll see.
Yeah.
So, a African-American woman
named
Asia Branch was crowned the first ever Miss Mississippi of USA.
Damn.
And now she moves on to the Miss USA competition in 2020.
First
ever black woman to be crowned Miss Mississippi.
Wow.
That's a hot mess.
That is way late.
But no.
Black people in Mississippi? That's a mess. I mean, I get it. Mississippi. I know. Mississippi still got issues. They just abolished slavery like a few years ago.
A couple days ago. Right? But
I wonder how many other states have never had.
That's a good question.
Now I'm curious.
But I mean, you remember last year we had the trifecta, so
true that.
Yes.
But finally, you know, this beautiful black woman has
broken the glass ceiling. Welcome, girl. Thank you.
I appreciate her.
I care.
I almost made her my most valuable black, but because she is valuable. But I came up with something else. R. Kelly ordered to pay child support out of his royalties.
Bye. Yep.
Bye.
Good.
I don't care. Next.
I can't with him. I just can't.
I don't understand why they weren't taking money out of his royalties already. Like, why is this?
I didn't know he had it, but I thought he didn't own any shit.
R. Kelly?
That's why he was having issues with money.
R. Kelly wrote everything and for everyone.
He doesn't own most of his shit, though.
I don't know how his estate is set up. But he has obviously, no money. That's not the case. Because the government is definitely getting their money.
Oh, yeah. Right. And the money he's getting is probably going straight to the government and to whatever baby mama.
Did he file some form of bankruptcy?
And he still ain't got no money.
Because didn't he rob his house? Oh, God. His house empty and
all? I think one of them did,
yeah. He got no money. He was not a really good businessman.
No, he can't read. What do you mean?
Girl. Okay. Anyway.
Obviously, he's not going to be a very good businessman.
Rest in peace to John Witherspoon.
Yes.
I'm so selfish. I was like, how are they going to do Boondocks? That was my comment. And I was wondering if there were some other things going on, so they knew possibly that, you know.
From what I thought, it was a shock to everyone. See,
I don't understand how. Right? Like, I absolutely love John Witherspoon.
But has it come out what happened?
I don't know, but
it's very.
But I mean,
indirect.
I didn't post this on Facebook because I thought it was disrespectful. But what's gonna happen with Boondocks? Like, you can't have Boondocks without John Witherspoon.
The last time I had a show where a person died on it, the show was not the same.
It just should
cancel.
My personal opinion.
Yeah,
Don't think there should be a Boondocks now.
Oh, I don't know about that. There's enough to talk about. Aaron Magruder is a very good creator.
No, just come up with a whole nother show then, because how do you do Boondocks with no granddad?
I think we could talk about what happens to the black family when a focal point of the family dies.
No.
He's clutch. It's like one like Huey or Riley not being back. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I agree.
Everybody dies.
I know.
No, but it's, just, I mean, I no, can't. The Simpsons, that show has been on for whatever, every character.
Contractually.
You know what I mean?
They under contract, so they got to fulfill them episodes.
Yeah, I mean, when you lose, like, when you have a contract with someone who is dead,
I don't know if there's a clause that somebody dies, it'd be just like, ooh, all this money we gave you, that's enough.
Well, we're not entertainment lawyers, but I'm quite sure, as recklessly
as celebrities
play.
The rest of the cast is there, they can work it out. Like,
we'll see.
I'm hoping that they filmed enough episodes with him that it'll still
feel like he's not. All right, so look, HBO upped the budget for Boondocks.
They sure the hell did.
No, up it again. Ooh. And go back through all the old episodes and take his voice and piece it together that way. Because I need John Witherspoon's voice as granddad in the next episodes or seasons of Boondocks.
But you know what I wonder? I bet they have a whole bunch of like a whole bunch of shows that they didn't ever like put out. Do you know what I mean? Like a catalog, content, so maybe they can go back and I don't even know how you would.
My heart is broken.
Yeah. I mean, and also
he was just a comedic and a creative talent that will definitely be missed. I was going to say too. Also,
in addition to him being,
yeah, I mean, like. That's why he works so well on the Boondocks, because
Friday,
of who he was.
His next legacy.
Friday afternoon.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, Boomerang. Come on, man. It just, there's so many, like, countless outstanding John Witherspoon moments in film history. It's just amazing. And I'm deeply sorrowed by the fact that he is no longer here. Because here's the thing. He was, what, 76? 77. First of all, I would have never guessed that he was that old. I knew he was old, but I wouldn't have guessed 77. And two, I just wasn't prepared to think that he may die. Like, I was just like, we have years of John Witherspoon left, and now we don't. Like, what in the fuck?
We just take a lot of shit for granted.
I just expected him to be here for another, 20-something years.
I was
years.
Like, this Boondocks is going to be lit. We don't have Granddad, Uncle Ruckus.
I cannot wait.
Huey and Riley, like... I can't wait for them to do the R. Kelly episode again. Like,
So,
well, R.I.P.
We'll move forward tearfully. Black don't crack, y'all.
It sure does not.
Because Missy Elliott redid her album cover.
Could you tell which one?
Nope. I had to, like, blow it up. And I was like, okay.
The eyebrow.
It was the face beat. I agree.
It was the eyebrows. Because they didn't do eyebrows.
The Gabrielle Union one. Did you see that where she wore the same outfit from Bring It On?
Yes.
For Halloween. Black Don't Crack. Her and her gorgeous daughter.
But that was Missy's Super Duper Fly album. Right. And that whole remake was Super Duper Fly. Like,
it was
outstanding. It was appropriate.
So if you guys didn't see, I love her. Missy Elliott, she did kind of like a recreation of one of her, was it her first album?
Her very debut first album.
Her debut 1997. Album cover.
From 97.
And she took...
I don't want to pay for that. That was enough.
Okay. And she recreated it. And it was so dope. Like, the only way that you could definitely tell the difference between the two pictures is the way that I could tell the difference was because the eyebrows. Back in the day, they took the eyebrows a little bit thin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now we got it a little bit different with the eyebrows. So that was literally the only way that I was able to tell the difference in those pictures.
I was excited. And it took me back to ninth grade.
We like, actually had a throwback this morning of all the things that popped off in 1999, the songs that came out in 1999.
That sounds fun. That's a little lit.
Yes.
Okay.
That's going to
be our oldies.
For all you black folk out there, the Popeye's Spicy Chicken is back today, November 3rd.
Oh, gosh, I've been waiting.
So go and get it.
With bated breath.
Yeah, I don't
know. No, I'm not going to lie.
Get one?
No, and second, first of all, there's no Popeye's anywhere close around here.
It's on the Southside.
Right, and so when am I in the Southside sliding through there unless it's late at night? So
look, I just want to try it. I just because the hype is so great. Now I am not going to chase this. Mm-mm. I'm not going out of my way to get one.
But if I see a Popeyes, I will slide my ass in and get one.
The one on the Southside going to be out of it immediately. Yo, anyway. They're probably out now.
You know where it's 2:00. Bet you they won't be out of it. No, I can't even say that because I'm alive. Because day that it came out, because I live in Monroe, I was gonna say. It probably wouldn't pop off in there. However, that is a lie.
Yeah, they
because the day that it did come out, I took a picture and the line was all waiting. The way from.
I say I'm not waiting in line either. If I pull up, if I go out of my way to Popeyes and I get there and the line is out the door, I'm a king drop.
I'm not going there.
I would really like to taste one though, but I'm good. So finally, I need you guys to listen to this because it's like, I feel like it's important. But it's a little longer, so before you comment, let me just get through it real quick.
Okay.
And you might have heard about this. Michael Che from SNL. He, like, the LGBT community and the trans community is, like, going at him right now because of his late night update from last week's SNL. Did y'all hear about that?
I saw an article, but go ahead.
So here's what happened. They basically said he misgendered Caitlyn Jenner on the show. So he says, he's talking about Kanye West. He says he was making a joke about Kanye, who is trash. I wrote a note to make sure I said Kanye is trash. And he said that Kanye was transforming into an old white woman, which makes sense because he supports Trump and just, it kind of goes, right? So then he's alluding to the fact that he supports Trump. And also the fact that Kanye moved to Calabasas, which Bruce Jenner did 5 years ago, and now he's Caitlyn Jenner. So that's kind of the connection he has. So then Chase says, but about 5 years ago, there was a fella named Bruce Jenner, and he moved to Calabasas. So that's what everybody's upset about. They're saying that he called Caitlyn Jenner a fella. So being the...
There was a man named Bruce Jenner.
Thank you. So
what are you talking about?
So here's my problem with this whole beratement of Michael Che. He literally said Bruce Jenner. He didn't say there was a fella named Caitlyn Jenner.
Exactly.
He said Bruce Jenner. And first of all, why are y'all so fucking sensitive? That's the problem. Like, sometimes we go a little too far. It's like, first of all, that shit was funny.
Yeah.
I didn't even watch it. I read it and died laughing. That shit is funny because Kanye is crazy. He's transitioning to something other than black. And Caitlyn or Bruce Jenner moved to Calabasas and became this old white woman. It is... Good job, Michael.
Okay, so number one, I care about that because I think it's a clever joke. I'm here for it. I'm not of the opinion, and this was a conversation I had multiple times this week. I'm not of the opinion that people are like this. People are too sensitive, like you said. So I
sometimes
feel like
we go too far.
Yeah, and yeah. When you do that, you end up creating more of a problem for openness and inclusivity.
Right.
Than
to
you
have
do.
The conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, for example, not to digress too far, but there was a book, and in the book that these children were reading, they said the word Negro. And a mother was like on Facebook, can you believe that they used to have my third grade daughter? She felt some type of way because it said Negro.
Well, is your child
book.
A Negro or not?
And I was
and
like,
it said Negro.
But
it didn't say Negro.
Like, that's a,
well, is your child a Negro or not?
Shut up. My point is, like, just, you know what I mean? It defeats the purpose, so you can't right. avoid the history. There was a person who was male, who identified as male, named Bruce Jenner.
Right, true. And the he end. Transitioned to Caitlyn
Jenner.
Jenner. But he, like, Michael Che was not being disrespectful
no,
to the trans community at all, in my opinion. As a gay man myself, like, I don't, and I'm not trans, so I can't speak on their part. But personally, from what I heard, what I read, I don't feel as though he was, like, misgendering
no.
Caitlyn Jenner. It was fucking funny.
Or purposely trying to, like,
no.
take a shot at the trans
or,
community.
Right. Not at all. It just did not make sense that, like, so many people were upset. Like, there was a bunch of people here in Pittsburgh who I'm friends with on Facebook who was, like, livid that, you know, Michael Che misgendered Caitlyn Jenner. And I was like, oh, shit. Let me go and see what the hell happened. And then when
and
I read
like,
it, what? I'm laughing at it. And I'm like, y'all are stupid.
You know what?
There's
this,
no misgender.
This is
here.
One of those things where I have, like, learned to just kind of sit back and let the discussion happen because I love comedy. And right now, comedians are taking a lot of hits
yeah.
for
things
that...
Because you can't say
that,
shit. You
well,
can't
right,
say shit now.
Things that were actually, like, relevant and factual at that time that those jokes were there. So,
yes, so this you're talking about
right.
Edgy.
So
get
my thing is like, you know, when you read, like you're talking about a situation of reading a book, when that book was written, you know,
it was
right,
appropriate.
It was appropriate to do that. So it's like this situation when
it, or if it was written this year, but it was a period piece
right.
from like 18
right.
something.
Right. And so
like,
I,
you know what I mean?
I
like,
haven't watched that skit or that episode. I don't know. Like, you know, I'll see. Yeah. I don't know the context
that was
it. Of
it.
But secondly, I'm also not trans. You know, I will never know what it is to be trans.
Right.
Like, and I don't know if there's another thing that I don't get from that conversation. So that's why sometimes I just sit back. Right
you
now,
yeah.
if it goes from that, I don't see an issue. But sometimes I'll sit back and just be like, oh, because there's been plenty of times where I've let my ego and my ignorance go over
well,
top
see,
of what was
the,
happening.
Here's the problem with that, though. Like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because there's I'm not right all the time. But the problem is, like, you're... No one is even explaining everything
right.
that I think. No one explained
people
why
just like, you're
this was
trash.
Issue.
This is not good.
He's terrible.
Right.
He's transphobic.
Explain
he's this,
it.
But why though?
Explain
like,
it.
What
right.
in that sequence of video?
Let's have a
what
learning.
Caused
lesson.
You to feel
yeah.
as though
you know
what
saying?
Caused you, trans person, to feel as though you were attacked? Like,
right.
explain that to me so I can understand. And maybe I will say, oh, you need to.
I'm like, damn,
out.
Yeah. Like,
but honestly,
or
my
I'm
thing
like,
is,
that was just funny.
There is, it's comedy. It's comedy.
Right.
And there are going to be, you know, white comedians that make jokes about black people. And if the shit is funny,
it's
fucking funny.
Funny. Right.
Because I talk shit about black people all the time.
We know.
Now, watch the verbiage you use. There might be a problem there. But honestly, for the most part, if it's funny, it's funny. You know what I mean? And it's like, stop being so goddamn sensitive. There's too many, like, bullshit-ass things going on in the world for everybody to be like you offended me. You offended me. Everybody offends everybody. Like, get used to it. Grow thicker skin. That's
the thing. Well, the thing about it is, we can't expect people to grow thicker skin because it appears that people are regressing. Like, this generation is getting weaker and weaker and weaker.
And that's the problem because we keep tolerating it. It's like, stop, slow down. Like, fucking realize that it wasn't meant out of callous. It was a joke. It was actually a funny joke. Right. And if you don't like it and you feel offended, please explain to me why so I can understand. Because you just saying I'm offended by that, those comments,
don't mean
I don't give a shit about that. I don't. You know what I mean? I'm not going to care until you tell me
why I should care.
Why I should care. Exactly. Right. So that is, did you care?
Oh, I have one. Since we're talking about celebrity breakups, did you see who else announced that they were separating?
I think I did.
Niecy Nash and her ex-husband of 8 years. I did not see that one coming. So I was sad about that.
I care because I love Niecy.
But do you know why I saw that one? Because the internet, once again, is trash. Do you remember back in the day where Niecy was like, a blowjob a day will keep your husband in your relationship?
So somebody was petty.
Yeah, somebody was like, how can blowjobs go? Right. Somebody was like, I don't know.
So whoever said that is the petty king for the day.
Right.
That is fucked up.
That's so messed up.
But see, now Niecy is offended. And she's going after that person. Like, come on. She's probably laughing at the shit.
She probably did laugh.
You know what I mean?
That's funny. Because
but I just felt like, I was like, damn, y'all, like, all this black love separating this. I'm hoping it's all for good things, though. You know, sometimes you just don't work out. So
sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
All right, guys. That's Did You Care? And we will be back shortly with some politicking. Are back with some politicking.
Hi guys.
I think Wes is going first.
I'm just trying to get over a bomb that somebody dropped on me, but that's
fine. Huge too. Bombs over Baghdad.
Yeah,
that's fine. We can share with the audience.
No, we don't need to do that. I don't. We need to lose any more of the last 3 followers that we still have.
Thank y'all for hanging in there. We love y'all.
You wouldn't if you heard what we were just talking about. Anyway.
Let's get into politics.
So this week, I want to talk about, you know, things that seem to show up on ballots for those of you who actually go vote. It's not just like, oh, I'm going to go vote for, like, the president. You know, that's what people seem to go vote for. So Tuesday, November 5th, we have elections in Pennsylvania.
This Tuesday.
November 5th.
Nationwide, Nick.
Well, I'm just talking about Pennsylvania specifically because, you know, but yes, y'all need to check to see if you need to vote on Tuesday. Yeah, it's general elections.
Yeah.
So you need to go and check your shit out. Do it today as soon as possible because there's always something on there that you didn't know about. And I have run into that in the past. So I'm specifically discussing 2 referendums that will show up on, and from Pittsburgh specifically, there is 2 and there's 1 statewide.
Okay.
But before I get into that, I also want to let everyone know that, you know, judges, since we always want to talk about how people don't seem to be deemed or given the proper punishment earned or consequences due to their actions or whatever actions they happen to fall in, this is why voting for a judge is very important. And there are 2 Superior Court judges that we need to vote for. So you need to look into that. And there's some other ones that we need to retain. So there is that. It's not just voting for school board. So specifically, there are 2 referendums that I want to talk about, and one of them I'm not even really sure how to feel about, so I'm going to see what you guys feel. But the first one for Pittsburgh is about raising taxes on property owners to fund the parks in the city. So I don't know how anyone feels that. I don't own a home, but I'll get into that. So this lady by the name of Jane Miller, she is the CEO of the Pittsburgh Park Conservancy, and they're looking to try to fill a $400 million budget over the next 10 years of maintenance and projects that they have upcoming. And one of her goals is to try to assess money from taxpayers by raising $1 for every $1,000 at that value. So she's somehow calculating that will somehow turn out to between a little bit under 66, but somewhere between $55 and $66 a year for a property owner. There have been council people in the city, specifically Democrats,
Burgess and Callie Smith, who have questions about this and feel that there does not need to be a need to raise taxes for this. They can get money elsewhere. And the controller, Lamb, has said that he believes there will be a significant surplus this year from 2019 of about $24.7 million. There will be a surplus in the budget. And he also says there is at least $24.7 million that has not been spent in the past 2 years that they could use to push into, park spending. So my thing is, I don't own any property. But that does not necessarily mean that a renter won't somehow come up with a difference of somebody owning a piece of property if they're renting out of that. They'll put it into their rent.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Possible.
So if we're talking about making affordable housing for people, how are you going to then like pass that on to the citizens of Pittsburgh to then raise, you know, more rent?
So I have questions. So
I'm just talking about
I have so many questions.
You said this.
And the mayor's in favor of this, by the way.
This referendum is to raise taxes in order for that money to go to taking care of the parks.
So that will get.
I want to know what.
$42 million will come out of this, and they will add their $10 million to it.
Okay.
Now, this is a public private company that will also be overseeing the money that's spent, but the council will then have to allocate how the money is spent. But this company will also be the ones having it.
But my question is, what.
What are they doing to the park?
So they said maintenance is one of them.
What parks? Okay. What areas? All what neighborhoods?
I think it's like all 160 parks. Now they did not break it down to.
That's a lie.
Right. I'm voting. They didn't break it. They didn't break it down to which parks would get the money first. But they said maintenance is something that has not been done in over 10 years. They said some of the parks look like houses that have not been touched in 40 years. So that was one of the this. Now this was the source from the Pittsburgh City Paper. So this is just where I got my information from.
I'm telling you.
Now, my issue is I feel like it shouldn't be a burden. We're already spending money into this. And if this conservancy's, if their idea is to raise private money in order to fund maintaining the parks, isn't that your job?
Okay.
You're already getting money from us. So you want us to raise $42 million off our tax dollars, off of already being raised, thanks to, you know, the government and state, all this other stuff going on. But then you want to just add 10. So our 42 and we get 10 from you to make 52 for the next 10 years.
Well, I want to know, number one, like the specifics, like Dante said, like what parks would be what parks would be getting this like re-updo.
They said all of them.
But then also I have a question about like, number one, Pennsylvania just legalized, like, you know, marijuana to the extent that it expanded the medical marijuana. So there is going to be a lot more money in the coffers. But
the controller says that there is.
But I would tend to agree with that. But I'm also interested to see, like, in terms of who's asking for, like, money, what's going on with the school districts? Because before, I would want to put money into, like, the parks. I would want to put money into number one, like, the... I mean, I get it.
Let me tell you whose coffers is dry. Pittsburgh Public Schools.
Yeah. Right.
Those coffers are empty.
Super empty. Do you know what I mean? So I'm more concerned. I feel like there needs to be... If we're bringing up things that local government needs to be concerned with, like, I don't necessarily think that the parks...
I agree with you,
Joy. Take
priority
over, like, schools.
I agree with you.
And if so, then, like, are they integrating, like, educational programs or something? Like, how...
No, they're just worried about the parks. And I feel like they...
My question is, how did we get on talking about the parks?
Yeah, like, why did that become a big deal? And why is it on the ballot? How did they even make it to the ballot is my question. Because... The parks are important.
They raised like over $600,000 in private money to go and, you know, lobby to get it on the ballot.
The company that's going to be in charge of running it and distributing the money. And
so they spent $600,000 to get $42 million.
Yes. And this lady who's head of this company, she has done this in other states.
Yeah, but here's the problem.
How have those parks come out?
Right. I can tell you, here's one caveat that happened. This was the only good thing they said was a little shady. That I forget what city it was, but it's the number one city with the highest amount of money to spend for a park. They didn't say the park was the number one looking park.
Well, it said... Since this is going to be a privately funded project, essentially with taxpayer dollars... who are they hiring? Are they hiring?
This group is the one that's going to be already there.
No. I'm saying, who does that group employ? Do they employ?
I'm sure the council will also require them to hire minorities. So the controller will
be
in
charge of giving the money to this group. The council will vote on which it should go towards. But that group will then ultimately do.
Here's my question as well. Like, you're talking about,
they get to hire who they want.
Now, when I hear park, I hear North Park, I hear South Park. These are in the county, so this money will go to those. Right. And they are already fucking nice parks.
Right.
They got trails and, you know, running lanes, bike lanes, all, and streets wide enough for cars. Like, they have all the space. You know, lakes, boathouses.
Yeah.
You know, the extreme, like, zip lining shit. Like, all of that is out there. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So when I hear parks, I think of those. In the city, we don't have parks. We have playgrounds. Those are playgrounds. Like,
when they say
they
have a whole building.
I feel like they said 165 parks. I was like, waiter.
Yeah, I feel like they're talking about playgrounds.
I think, right.
I just don't see that happening. It's not going to happen in Homewood, East Liberty, Hill District, Northside, Mount Oliver. All those parks, all those little neighborhoods, have parks that are not going to get any of that money at all. It's going to go to those fucking areas that already have the money for...
I need more details, because also I think we don't want to get lost on the fact that when we're saying parks, we're expecting physically, it literally meaning like...
Does it mean more trees or does it mean more swings?
Because what I'm saying is the parks and the conservancy could include other things other than literally the physical maintenance of the park. So does that include things like the libraries or like the other because the Parks Conservancy, right? Like,
right.
It's so, just not.
Let me just say this. It's maintenance is one of the issues. Walking trails through the parks and to the parks. Like
observatory,
shade,
for instance.
Yeah, shade,
do you know what I mean? That's not a park.
Sheds and all that type
of
stuff that goes to it. And programming. So
that's what I'm saying.
But the programming part, I saw got the least amount of money.
Would be like the movies in the park. That's what they mean by like.
It can be anything.
Like Phipps isn't gonna get any of this money. Now the pathway that walks up to Phipps may get it because they're in Schenley Park, but the actual conservatory is not gonna get money for this, like out of this tax money.
Well, Phipps is also they have a private endowment.
Right, but you included like libraries and stuff like that.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know enough about what's included. Number one,
I'm gonna put no just for simple fact. I don't like that they get to hire people.
The privatization part.
Yeah, I don't like that, and I don't like that you're raising money already. I mean, not raising. You're raising taxes on a situation for people. People are already trying to find a place to live and buy homes.
Raise taxes forever and ever.
I get it. So my thing is, if we keep letting one thing, what's next?
Yeah, and you know, the biggest reason it's a no for me is because the controller already said there's $24 million just chilling.
Like, and it's not the first time I've heard this. I've actually spoken to people, and people said there's a surplus that they're not even spending. And the mayor keeps saying that surplus is not enough and it's not a viable option.
Okay.
This lady said
Allegheny County property tax is already ridiculously expensive. I fucking own a house here. And
that's
I know
somebody who does
property
own a house.
Taxes in this county. People, like, there are Allegheny County police officers that work in my department who want to live outside of the county. We can't. We have to live in the county.
Right.
And if they're like, I live right at the border. If I just move two blocks over, my property taxes would be like $4,000 or $5,000 less a year. You know what I mean? Like, it's shit like that. And then now you want me to pay an additional tax to fix parks that you're not even gonna fix parks in my area. I don't use North or South Park. They're nice, but I don't use them. I can't walk to them. I go to Schenley Park. I go to Frick Park. Those are nice parks as well. But I just don't see the bulk of the money going to those parks.
And her rebuttal was that if we don't get this money now, in the future, the cost that is to do what they need to do now could balloon to $400.
But you didn't even tell us. You haven't even told us what needs to be done now.
True.
They're building a whole another fucking park right downtown, like over the expressway, so people could leave downtown like office buildings and eat their lunch there. Bitch,
we need that. We need that.
7 months out of the year, it's cold as fuck. We ain't gonna be outside eating no goddamn lunch. Get the fuck out of here.
You might have to.
Bitch, no. Ain't gonna happen. And then, like, it's not gonna, it's gonna be nice, but I feel like it's a waste of money. Like, we can better utilize.
I feel like there's a better way to do this. Right. Yeah.
What's
the okay, now this second one is a little bit of a doozy, and I'm not sure how to feel. I'm just going to give you
it's a no for me already.
Oh.
No,
I'm just so this one is a statewide one, and this is the one that's kind of concerning because it's actually in litigation right now. So it's actually being sued by the...
Is it because of the verbiage? Is it this, that verbiage?
Yes.
Okay.
So this is basically, this referendum is basically to give rights to victims who happen to be involved due to a crime. And it protects the victim and the people connected to the victim that might also have been, you know, involved, infected.
Right.
So basic stuff like, you know, if your property or anything you have might get damaged or stolen, sometimes it's not returned or whatever. So you get that identifying the rights that you have as a person who was a victim of a crime. It's like
so also like because I work with victims advocates all the time. And it also like when someone is a victim of a crime, say you got injured because you were a victim, like someone rolled up to you in Schindler Park. Beat the shit out of you, stole your purse, you know, and then you're in the hospital for 2 months recovering, and now you're out of work, so you're not getting paid. So it doesn't supplement your pay, but it gives you something to help with that. And that's just one of the things.
Right. They want to amend this, the state constitution to add in these rights to victims of crimes, because I guess it wasn't there before.
Mm-hmm. Victims' rights, yeah.
And so there's actually a lot of verbiage. So it's actually being sued by the League of Women because they're saying that the verbiage is it's all confusing. It's all thrown in there, and it's not going to actually be in the best interest.
The verbiage on the ballot.
It's long as hell.
So what that leads me to believe is people are going to just say no just for the simple fact that they don't know what... I don't feel like reading all this. I don't have time.
And then on top of it, this could pass, and because it's in court, it could just get thrown out. It might even...
So what specifically are they asking here?
Oh, so they're basically they're... I don't even know. To me, it seemed like a good idea. They're basically telling people these are your rights due to a crime that has happened to you and your family. Like, all the way down to if you need to testify or not, if you should or not, and if you have to or not, based on the levels.
Why does this need to be added to the state constitution?
Because it wasn't there. But I guess I don't know.
It not being there, so what?
So yeah, so what was the precipice for this? Like, was there
that's a good question.
I don't know.
Were there a bunch of because I can see it being, you said the victims' rights advocacy group is the one who's bringing this litigation.
Yeah, they're the ones that are suing in court over verbiage.
I could imagine there's a lot of times where, especially in domestic abuse situations, where a woman would be displaced. You know what I mean? So, you know, having a supplemented income, you know what I mean?
But that already exists, Jordan.
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying. They said this may or may not count due to an ongoing lawsuit by the League of Women Voters who claim the referendum is improperly combining several changes into the amendment that the brief summary that voters will see at the polls did not adequately capture the full set of changes it would make.
I
feel also that, like, it's... The verbiage, I didn't read the full verbiage, and I didn't read a lot about this issue, but my understanding also is the fact that, like, your response is yes or no. Do you agree or disagree to move this referendum forward?
Right.
But you don't, even when you read it, you don't know whether
or
not, if you say no,
you don't know are you
removing
actually
it?
Saying,
like,
yeah, right.
You're it's saying, like, no, I don't agree that it should move forward. Or
you
yes,
have no
you
idea.
Have no
the
idea.
Way it's written, you have no idea if you should say yes or no because it's so confusing. It's so bogged down with
I had to read the first paragraph about 3 or 4 times because how it's thrown all together.
Look, I don't have
I wasn't sure if I was saying no or yes to adding this to amend the state constitution.
As much as I preach voting, and I'm continuously preaching that, go and vote, I'm trying to be in and out. I ain't got time to be reading no 4-page.
Do you know what? Well, here's my issue. Number one, this is the first time that I'm hearing about this today, right? And I feel like I'm
pause. That means, Joy, on Tuesday, you're going to go into the voting booth and you're going to see,
what the fuck is this?
Exactly.
I have no idea.
Exactly. So my first issue is why, if this is something that is so important, why has it gotten no spins? Like, why has
it's gotten a couple spins on local news? The thing is, it's been very brief. It's like a quick 1-minute segment about it, in and out, and it's done.
It's a conspiracy.
I just think that it's the best way to, like,
and that's a for
something,
one.
The best way for something not to get passed is for people not to understand what it is. Right. And then you get in there and you're just going to be like, oh, I don't got time for this. No. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I still don't know where I stand. I need to do more research between now and Tuesday to figure out
like what the park one I knew about. I heard about the
it's
park.
It's a no for me.
Yeah.
It's a no for me, too.
I'm just going to say no because it sounds like y'all.
Can y'all please say no so I don't have to pay more taxes?
It sounds like, well, that's a no for me because this sounds like a way to just throw money out the door. That's a no.
We're not going to be wasteful.
No. That's enough. I spend enough money on taxes. That's enough for me. No.
What else you got?
Oh, that's it.
Okay.
Other than them two judges, we need to make sure you need to look for there. And there's four judges, I believe, that we're trying to retain. So please, people, come out and vote. I don't care if you treat yourself to go vote. How about that? Get yourself McDonald's or a chicken sandwich from Popeye just to go vote, because this actually matters. Like, you got people out here making decisions for us. At least let's make the state situation be good. Like.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up because, number one, that's something that I didn't know about, so thank you for enlightening me. But also,
Oh, and the district attorney. That's another thing. I'm sorry. The district attorney battle, you cannot do a straight ticket if you want to vote for Middleman. Just letting y'all know that.
Yeah,
she's running as an independent.
You
got
to write her in, don't you?
I don't know. I just know that you cannot.
If you're a Democrat, I don't think her name is going to appear in your ballot.
So you need to be prepared for that.
I could be wrong.
If you want to do that, so that's another thing.
Okay.
This is all that little sneaky stuff. They talk about Republicans. They do it on the Democrat side, too.
Are you voting for Middleman?
Yes. Okay. I mean, she's probably not going to win, but yes.
So I think it's going to be a lot closer than a lot of people assume. And then also, like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
But I legit don't know because
in that time,
who the district attorney is specifically for me affects me drastically.
Yeah.
Like it on many levels. On, you know, charging and prosecuting criminals that I arrest, and also what happens to me if
I
make a mistake or have to defend myself.
I feel you.
So it's a pretty big fucking deal. And a lot of the stuff that she is saying is
changing your job.
It sounds great when it comes to
paper
criminals,
but
it
not
sounds
great.
Terrible when it comes to me and officer pain. Right? Like, I don't know if I'm, but I don't do shit wrong, so it shouldn't make me no difference.
No, but I'm glad that you're like,
But I'm literally considering it because I'm not getting into that.
Okay.
Well, sorry, Joe. What you got?
So that's it. I'm done.
So, both, I'm glad. I like that. Thank you, Wes. Shout out to that politic, and that was awesome. But just piggybacking on that idea, I want to talk about Obama, who...
44?
Yes, 44. Shout out. The one and only.
The man, the myth, the legend.
So, this article I read, I got this article from NPR, and it's really brief, but I really wanted to read it with you guys. And this is actually funny because I read this with Christian in, like, the first... kind of paragraph, we were all sitting there like, oh my gosh, this is really dense, you know, because it was really well written. This article was written by Juana Summers, and the article is titled Obama Says Democrats Don't Always Need to Be Politically Woke.
I keep trying to tell people that.
Yes. Okay, and I'm not going to read it verbatim, but basically Obama on Tuesday, there was a speaking engagement that Obama had at an Obama Foundation summit in Chicago, where he said that he worries that the Democratic Party, like the leftists, are too worried about being pure among other Democrats, like ideologically pure.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and what he is arguing is that the idea of purity is that you've never been compromised, that you've always politically been woke. You know what I mean? Exactly. And he argues that the world is messy, which I agree with. That people, you know, they have ambiguities. People do really good stuff.
Right.
People who do good stuff also have flaws. Like, there's this need, I feel like, amongst Democrats to appear sanctimonious. And that's an issue. Because ultimately what we'll be doing is creating more of a divide. And like we were talking about a little bit off air, you know, you take these shots at these other Democrats because you feel like if you're not 100% with me on every issue, then I can't have a conversation with you. You're taking shots at Democrats who differ in opinions. But at the end of the day, this is going to be your nominee potentially. So you have to be careful with how you take them down. You know, so That's what I wanted to talk about, because our main issue when we get to the polls this week, like Wes was talking about, because Tuesday, Election Day,
November 5th,
we're as Democrats, you know, thinking about the most productive way to take down Donald Trump. And that's the most important thing.
That is the messaging. Like, but it should be bigger than that.
It should be. But at the same time, we have to be careful because, like Obama calls it, the quote unquote call out culture, where on social media, you know what I mean, you're so quick to demonstrate how woke you are on a specific right. subject or whatever, like not recognizing the greater impact that those comments can have. Like, you, one of the things that everybody liked about Obama was his ability to balance his idealism and pragmatism. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he was very, like, he came, they had a term in this article, he could argue that a half a loaf of bread was better than nothing at all. And he was, like, a very middle, like, a centric
yeah.
kind of,
yeah, and
you know,
a
and
lot
that's
of people
why,
were frustrated with that as well.
Hell yeah.
Exactly.
Especially
but,
the black community.
Especially the black community.
But the rigidity amongst liberal Democrats is going to be a problem. You know, because as he called it, a circular firing squad, where you start shooting at your allies because one of them is straying on an issue, quote unquote, like a purity issue, mm-hmm. when you're not recognizing that you need to find that middle ground, that balance between idealism and pragmatism.
Right.
You know, so
which I think which makes you why you're the elected person in office. Like, you're supposed to be able to balance your constituents. Everyone's not going to have the same concern, regardless if we're on the same side or not.
Yeah, like, and also, like, that online, like, if you, if you tweet or hashtag, you didn't do something right, or use the wrong verbiage, like, we were talking about NRTYC, right. you know, and you're calling somebody out on using the wrong verbiage, that's not activism, that's not bringing about that, change, like, right. what the fuck is the point of that, you right. know what I mean, and that's his argument.
Well, you can
like,
easily just DM them, like, that was wrong.
Thank you. You know what I'm
saying? I don't have to tell all of Twitter.
Right. You don't get extra points for that. And,
right. Because you're going to fuck up too.
The main objective is to, like, Obama, I guess, is trying to, like, keep this as a reminder that we need to be conscious of, if you're not doing something that's making people's lives better and engaging people, and just because they don't meet you on all, like, aspects, then you're a part of the problem. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. you're holding us back.
I agree.
You got to be conscientious of that. You got to be aware of that. Like, that is being, quote unquote, woke in my book. Like, the impact that you have. Like, I mean, we see it a lot. That's why one of the reasons why I've been so absent, and I have been for probably, I don't even know, like 2 or 3 years kind of on Facebook, where I don't really participate in Facebook, just because I feel like that circular kind of firing squad mentality is just so poised. Like, it's so draining to see.
Yeah.
Personally.
It like breaks up friends.
It
like,
breaks up friends.
Over dumb shit.
I mean, the Brian and Hillary dynamic.
Yeah, right. Like, I know people that don't talk to each other anymore because of that. And I'm just like, is it that serious? There's way more important things going on right now.
People
that
have to be accessible to all points of view. Right? Like, that's the main thing. People have to be accessible to all points of view.
I feel like people need to be a minimal to different views. Like, you have to be able to, willing to sit and listen to somebody's
yes,
point of view.
Yes.
And possibly change yours right. off of what they're presenting
it
to
you. It doesn't
have
to be right then.
Right, it doesn't. But, like, at least be open to listening to what they're saying. And if it's bullshit, it's bullshit. You walk away from it. But you don't have to attack them. Like,
agreed.
You're an idiot. You're like, it's.
I mean, some people are idiots.
Some
and
people are. And some people need to be told
that
they're
right. And, you know, like, and sometimes if they just talk enough, you know, the idiot will
people talk at
mouth.
Work all the time. And I'm just like, you're an idiot. And I keep it moving. You know what I mean? Like, no big deal.
Yeah.
I
mean,
heard your dumbass point.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, fine. And the thing about Obama is he's always been the person, and it was really well put in this article. Again, this article I got from this, written by Juana Summers. For NPR, she put it, I think perhaps the objective is to serve as a reminder to not get caught up in the things that aren't about helping make people's lives better and engaging people, meeting them where they are and being accessible to all points of views. Like,
okay.
I love that idea because Obama's never been like, everything I have done has always been right. And people who perform with this rigidity about them, they scare me. People who don't have the ability to adapt or to grow.
Yeah.
Like, that is more terrifying to me than somebody who's like, you know what I mean? That's a real issue. So personally, I want to remind everybody who's going out to vote. And it's something like even last week between, you know, in our conversation, Tay and I talking about who we're going to vote for. And, you know, I was kind of persuaded to then take a second look at my presidential candidate, you know what I mean, choice, because
I think that's necessary. It was a conversation. It wasn't like I was attacking you, like, you're the person you like is stupid and you're an idiot. I was just like, look, here are some facts. You know what I mean?
Right. And I appreciate that. And I think that that's one of the reasons that Obama is always going to be somebody whose voice breaks through all the bullshit. Because he's like,
I also find... wasn't expecting to change your opinion. Like, I was offering
right.
you
right.
like what I understand and the reason why I feel differently. And I was just giving that. I was just presenting that. I wasn't trying to change your opinion.
Convince me
of just,
anything.
It happened naturally, thankfully.
I mean, and that's
thankfully, really.
And I would think that from like the last election for us getting Trump, I think I would hope that people would learn how divided we made each other by not sitting down and having a conversation versus being like, well, that person did this and that person did that. How could you do that? You're stupid. And I was like, dude, put what you think are the pros and cons about who you liked on the table, let them do that, and then just let it marinate.
Yeah. And it all comes back around to, like, we can still use Hillary and Bernie as an example. When she finally, like, clinched the Democratic nomination, despite all the Bernie bros out there that, like, was upset about
people still went by
you should have, like, switched your support mm-hmm. to support the nominee, period.
Period.
You know what I mean? Like, I said it to Joy last week.
That's what I keep trying to tell people.
I was like, look, dude, like, I have my candidate, and if my candidate doesn't make it through the primary
Fine, so
and
what?
Drops out, I'm supporting
whoever
becomes the nominee.
And on top of it, that regardless of who this person is on that side, I have more inclined. It's not, I'm not saying I have more. My interests align more with any of those people than what's already in the White House.
Right.
So,
and I am a mature adult. Like, I can understand that everybody doesn't win all the time. That's another thing that's wrong with our community, where every kid's supposed to get a trophy and a certificate and a ribbon and all that other shit.
That's what I wanted
to
do.
Losing is a trophy. Go home and do better.
Do better. Learn. Prepare. Do a better job of making yourself ready to win. And then maybe you will. But the bottom line is, you can't win everything. So let's go and support this other candidate. Get them elected.
Right.
And then if you want somebody different later, you start that road again.
And your person might be Secretary of State or Vice President. You never know.
Someone could have got appointed to a position of influence.
Higher than where they are right now.
Of
right.
Influence.
So
the main thing is how most effectively can we defeat Donald Trump? And the fact of the matter is,
give him the guillotine.
I'm gonna need you
to
say
the most effective way is to combine our powers and fucking get
our powers combined.
We can beat Donald Trump. Like, seriously.
Oh my
gosh,
I wish I had a Captain Planet ring right now that we could all put in the air.
Okay.
The bottom line is, like, we do got to get rid of this man.
We do.
And I'm supporting whoever. I'm supporting whoever is the nominee.
Wait. Oh, sorry. Sidebar.
Period.
So that was the end of my politicking, but just to wrap it up on a thanks guys. But just to wrap it up on a funny note, what you guys definitely need to look at is somebody compiled a video compilation of all of the world leaders having awkward interactions with Donald Trump. And it is like 2 minutes of the most hilarious. I'm telling you, like, it is so funny. It's the most ridiculous thing that you will see today if you go and check it out, and I hope you guys do.
Send it to me so I can put it on the page.
It's so funny. Okay, yes, that's a great idea.
But before we end this, did anybody listen to this shit that's happening with the president of Ukraine and Donald Trump?
I mean, what part about it? Like, all of it? Yeah.
You cannot make this. I'm just...
I know.
You should look at it.
You can't make up the Republican Party response to this.
Oh, my
God. Like, you can't make
it's just crazy. It's like, common. This is...
Anyway, but so, that's for another politicking, and that is it, guys. We are going to chill for a little bit, and then come back with some MVBs. We'll see you in a minute.
Thank you.
Bye.
We're back. Back. Wow. We're back with some most valuable blacks.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you, Wes, for that fun off-air puzzle that we did.
I have a riddle for you all, and you can comment on the Facebook page.
Okay. Yes.
What name is this?
We can't wait to see it on the Facebook page, because you guys
S-S-S-S-T.
Okay.
There you go.
Nobody's going to get that one.
Please comment on our Facebook page what you think.
What that, name that is.
With those letters spelled. What name those letters spell?
Okay. So this week for my MVB, I wanted to give a shout out to something that always touches my heart, adoption. This is a single dad. Shout out to black men out there being great.
That's what's up. Because they exist.
We do. Yes. We do.
So this goes out to 48-year-old Lamont Thomas. Last month, a single dad adopted 5 children under the age of 6. So that the children could stay together.
Oh.
Thomas has fostered over 24 children in the last 20 years. Good Morning America reports that with the adoption of, all right, these are the 5 that he just adopted. Micaela.
S-S-S-T.
No, these have normal names.
Oh, babe,
Micaela, Major, Nikaya, Jamil, Zendaya. He officially has 12 children altogether, 10 of whom he's adopted and 2 of his are biological. And he's just one of the people that has been described as just having like a ginormous heart. He says that every day I think about it, my eyes swell up. All that we endured to make this happen, it was something, he told Good Morning America. So it was just like really humbling to see not only that he took on the responsibility of keeping this family together, but as a single dad himself, because that in itself is a burden, as anybody knows, raised with single parents. And then all under the age of 6. No, that's crazy. After 2 decades of fostering, Thomas found himself as an empty nester and thought he was finished caring for small children. However, when he learned that there were 5 kids and a man he once fostered, they were all in the system, they were split up across 4 counties. He knew that he had to do something. So these siblings split up amongst 4 counties. He was like, wow. Y'all need to be with each other. So he renewed his certification to become a foster parent. So he reapplied, went through the whole process all over again, specifically to keep these kids together. He said he wanted to make a difference by being a difference, and that is like the most profound thing. You know what I mean? Because talking about walking and talking and doing what you know, putting actions behind your words, this man, 48, took on that responsibility. So shout out to him.
And thank you.
And thank you.
For I appreciate being a
dope. I'm not doing that, but I'm glad that there's people.
Shout out to Lamont there. Thomas, because our, you know, all those brown babies need a positive role model, and now they have that. So that's incredible. So I wanted to shout him out.
Did they say what his job is?
No, they did not say what he does.
Lord Jesus.
But I mean, caring for 5 kids under 5.
You definitely getting into heaven's gates. Let me tell you.
Oh please, he's knocked them down. Like, that's incredible. So, shout out to Lamont Thomas for the MVB this week for me. What you got?
Oh, mine is, his name is Stephen Canals. I hope I'm not saying that last name incorrectly. He is the co-creator and executive producer of Pose. He actually...
Pose, you said?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
That Pose Emmy nominated and winning show that's on FX that Ryan Murphy executive produces. Mm-hmm. He actually wrote that while he was in film school, and he was trying to pitch it while he was in film
wrote
school.
Wrote Pose?
Mm-hmm. Wow. He wrote the script for Pose, and that's how it got into Ryan Murphy's hands, because everywhere he wanted to go put it, no one wanted to pick it up. He ran into, I think, a showrunner or somebody who was putting on Vikings on the History Channel, and she got him in touch with Ryan Murphy. So Pose is actually written about his life growing up in New York. He's Afro-Latino. And so he just...
Is he Damon?
I think it is. I think he based himself around Damon and then...
But he went to film school.
So basically he...
So it's a little change.
So, I mean, it's like not all the way, but it's loosely based around like his experiences and his friends and everything around him. So like a lot of the characters around Damon are his straight friends who basically became friends with him just because they liked him as a person, regardless of what his sexual orientation was.
Right.
But he basically talks about... I was reading a little bit on, because it's really not a lot about him. He was very quiet and allowed to stay off to himself due to like how he was raised. And he's one of those kids who, when he applied to go to college, he got rejected from everybody. So
based on his grades? Or did he apply as like an artistic talent?
Well, I didn't really get into that. He did get to, you know, he went to college and went to graduate school and then film school, stuff like that. So he's very, you know, educated. But I just want to give this man's credit because he always talks about how he's always been left out and, you know, kind of like not been seen into the forefront. Even he was left off of Out 100's list last year, but Ryan Murphy and Janet Mock and all those people who are connected were all on that list.
What list?
The Out 100 list. It's like the LGBT issue where they like look at the most 100 influential people.
Out Magazine.
And so I'm giving this brother shine because, you know, we don't have a show like Pose on television, and who knows what else this man can create.
I
so,
love Pose.
I'm going to go ahead, and that's a...
Okay.
Afro-Latinos is part of being black, so...
Yeah. Good for him. And I appreciate you, because I love the show.
Love the show,
see
you.
Okay. All right. Also, it's credit for writing the pilot episode, Mother of the Year, and acting up, and What Would Candy Do?
So, What Would Candy Do?
Yep. So, shout out to you, brother.
Okay. So, my MVB... quickly became MQB when I dug a little deeper. So I'm scrolling through.
You can't put yourself on a list.
Girl, please. I'm always an MVB.
Oh.
Sir, what? Anyway, so I'm scrolling through this list and I've come across this guy named Jason Pulham. He is now a federal judge in San Antonio. He represents the Western District of Texas. He's originally from Brooklyn, New York, and he graduated from Thurgood Marshall School of Law, which I forget what university that's a part of in Texas as well. But he got his law degree, ascended the ranks through being a judge, and now he is a federal judge appointed by no other than Donald Trump. And
is that why you say MQB?
Yes. Oh, because shit. Then when I seen that, I was like, well, Donald Trump is not nominating anybody Democrat. So clearly this guy is not a Democrat. So I was like, let me dig deeper. So I dug deeper. And during his Senate confirmation hearing, Democrats asked him about his opinion on Roe versus Wade and Brown versus Board of Education. And he gave very, very ambiguous answers regarding those, which made him questionable for me. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I had a Most Valuable Black, I thought, not to knock this dude, because I don't know him specifically, but hearing some of his response to those questions, I don't trust him. And basically the reason I kept him as my person for today is because... not every black person can be trusted. So,
as a reminder,
yeah,
okay,
not every black person can be trusted.
Ben Carson
cannot be trusted.
Boom.
Maybe in the ER, you know, or in a
shit. I'm bringing that into question at this point. Like,
I mean, I give him the fact he's a brain surgeon. Dude is a judge. He's a federal judge, but that doesn't mean that like my interests will ever be fought for or defended with him. As a federal judge, so
I think that is just circling back to our politics and what we're talking about is keep an open mind, like making sure that you know what people are, what they stand for. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, you know, just because they look like you don't mean that they're on the same page as you.
Yeah, and you know being open to figuring that out.
And it's just always, I'm just always like Roe v. Wade and Brown versus Board of Education.
Yeah.
Board of Education is the two biggest things. That's the two things they actually do discuss in history books. Well, luckily in my state they did. It didn't go into detail, but those were very historical things. So you know, being a judge, you're going to ask you about those two cases. I don't understand the ambiguity. Like,
because you can play both sides, whether you're good or bad about it.
Just say it, bitch. Like, it's trash.
To me, it's a politically correct response.
Yeah,
well, no, it wasn't, in my opinion, because on these two topics, it's either you support it or you don't.
Right.
So to be ambiguous about it, you don't support it. You just don't want to say I don't support it.
So it's wrong.
I'd rather you say you don't support it. So I would know.
Yeah, and technically he did, but he didn't say that in those words. And that's the shit that pisses me off. And you get a lot of people that look like us often that try to say the right things.
But she doesn't.
And like try to act like they're down and they're for the cause and they're really not. You know what I mean? So I got super excited because I seen this picture and I seen this headline of this black man becoming a federal judge. I'm like, hell yeah, that's right. And then... I guess I forgot, but then I forgot that like the federal judges have to be appointed, and usually they're appointed by the president, but the president is What the?
Yep.
Oh, especially shit, this part. Especially this president.
So
yeah.
Another good thing about this whole situation, and the reason I brought this man up, is because we also got to do our research. Yep. We can't just always scroll through Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, see a headline, and be like, "Oh, this is great." If without you reading. Don't go through that post and read and do some additional research on your own, you could still end up looking like the fool. So I almost looked like a fool here because I was like, "Oh, most valuable black right here." Nah, we cool.
Okay, well,
I will never say your name again.
Yeah, the response on that would have been real interesting.
All right. Well, that was fun.
Well, I think that's it. Yeah, we are done. So I want to tell you guys to like, share,
subscribe,
comment, email, all those good things. Because this week, our social webs will be updated.
Yes. I know. Hercules. Yay! Hercules. Yeah.
We're going to be back in the land of the social webs.
Yes.
And so, you know, we have a new friend episode coming up.
Yeah.
Yep.
And like at the friends. Very least. Friends. Yeah. At the very least, please go vote.
Please. Please.
Take your mama. Take your granny.
Forget
if
to
you
vote.
Know somebody who can't drive or they are unable, you know, to physically get themselves to help them get there.
And
like,
also,
please.
Let me remind y'all that, like, in the northern states, the northeastern states, any state above usually, I would say, Texas, during the general election, it's fucking cold. So what? Suck it up. I don't care if there's snow out there. I don't care if it's raining. I don't care if it's windy. Unless your life is threatened by going outside, please go out and vote. It's just that important now. Every election, not just, you know, presidential elections. All of this, we're going to need you guys to get out there starting in February when the Iowa caucuses start and it starts our primary season. Each state will have, you know, a different week, a different month to go out there and vote. And we here at Not Our Ancestors, I will definitely have a list of primaries and I'll be calling them states out. So if you're out there and you're listening, please get out there and vote on November 5th, which is in 2 days. And then be prepared for your primary in the spring.
Yes.
Yes. All right, guys.
All right.
That's
see
it.
See you next week.
We'll see
bye,
you guys
gang.
Soon.